I see everyone back with us this evening. We will be taking a Bible and turning with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. There are many things that we can learn from the life of the man we know as Abraham. But at the beginning of Genesis chapter 12 is still known as Abram. As you read through the book of Hebrews, and most especially chapter 11, you see Abraham mentioned there in what we often term the Hall of Faith. Abraham was told to get up out of his country, to leave his father's house, and to go into a land that God would show him, which we'll see here in just a moment in verses 1 through 3. And he did just that. He got up and he left. Abraham was told to take his only son, his son of promise, that is, and to take him and offer him as a burnt offering unto the Lord. Abraham didn't hesitate. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that he got up early in the morning and he went. So friends, for you and I as Christians, Abraham is a wonderful example. Abraham is one of the reasons why we should not let anyone tell us that we ought to just throw the Old Testament away. Sadly, there are brethren that will say that, well, you know, we're New Testament Christians, we're to follow the New Testament, so we ought to just throw the Old Testament out the window. Friends, that would be going against New Testament Scripture, for one. Romans 15 and verse 4. Whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comforts of the Scriptures might have hope. And so it's there for a reason. Paul told the Corinthians and the Romans, for that matter, the things that were written in the Old Testament Scriptures were there for our example. They're there for a purpose. And so we're able to go back, as we will this evening, and look at Abraham and what he did so that you and I may have an example to live by faith as he did, to walk in the Lord as he did. I want us to read together and then study together some things from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. We begin to read there in Genesis 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Abraham is given a command, but then he's also given a promise. The command comes in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. He is told to get up and leave his father's house and get away from his kindred. Friends, the title of our sermon tonight is Leaving the World. And we learn this from Abraham. He's told, number one, to get out and leave all that he knows. Abram left everything he knew. Friends, if you were to go back and you were to do a little bit of digging, probably on the internet, or if you have access to a good encyclopedia, and you look up Ur of the Chaldees, there is some debate as to where exactly that was, but whatever the case, all accounts confirm that the Ur of the Chaldees was somewhere in the area of Persia of history. And they're around the Persian Gulf. And to our knowledge and what I've been able to find, Ur of the Chaldees at the time of Abraham was one of the most advanced civilizations at that time. They had learned how to pump water, have running water in their homes. It seems that in some places that have been unearthed, that Ur in that particular area, or the civilization in that particular area, where the Chaldean people were, it seems there that they had figured out a way to have some type of indoor plumbing. Also, they had an ingenious way of heating and cooling their homes. There have been a couple of homes that have been unearthed during this time period that they had figured out a way to heat and cool their homes by having running water in the walls. They would heat the water as it would come in if they needed heat, or they would cool it in some way as it came in, and it would keep their homes cool. It was their way of heating and cooling their homes. Friends, it was an advanced civilization. They were advanced in medicine. And here he had he's leaving a permanent dwelling in Ur of the Chaldees to go where he knows not where, and to be a dweller in tents. All of Abraham's life from this point forward, the man is going to live in a tent. Now think about that for a moment. He left everything that he knew to be a camper for the rest of his life, to set up camp here and there. Now, he became a very wealthy man, friends, but we learn there that he was a nomad. He went from place to place. Many of us are reluctant to leave home, aren't we? As a matter of fact, many of us, as we go back, you may go back for high school reunions, and I didn't go to my 10-year reunion, but I found out that there are a surprising number of people that still live in the same exact area they lived when they graduated high school. There were folks who were reluctant to leave home. They don't want to get away from things that they know. But friends, we learn of Abram's faith because he got up and he left. The Lord said, go. He didn't ask questions. He got up and he left. He went. Didn't even know where he was going. Just as the Lord said, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, friends, think about this for a moment. How do we make this apply to us today? And how do we go about applying this to leaving the world? Friends, we look out at the world today and you don't have to watch television any amount of time to realize that the world believes it has a lot to offer. You watch these television commercials or you see the ads in newspapers, whatever the case may be, the world says, I've got a lot to offer. I can take your pain away. I can give you pleasure that you've never experienced. I can give you these different things. Sometimes we think maybe that the world has a lot to offer. But friends, what we need to learn and what we need to realize is that the things that the world has to offer, the things that this world has to offer me, friends, is only temporary. It's only temporary. Keep a finger there in Genesis chapter 12, and I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to read with me verses 24 through 26. And what is said of Moses? We read here of Moses, one of the greatest leaders that we're ever able to read about. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now friends, as you read through the Old Testament, you read about Moses, and you read about the other prophets, you read about Daniel, you read about Isaiah. They didn't know a whole lot about Christ. They didn't fully understand what God's plan was. But we do know that they understood enough to place tremendous faith in the God of heaven. Notice what the Hebrews writer says of Moses. First of all, when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy, notice this, you know what we said about the world, that the things the world has to offer is only temporary. He chose to suffer the afflictions of God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now let's put that into perspective for a moment. Where was Moses at this time? He was in the palace of Pharaoh. He was still, at this moment in time, considered to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Friends, if things had worked out just right, Moses could have been Pharaoh. He could have sat upon that throne. He could have ruled an entire nation all by himself. He could have been worshipped. But he realized something. He realized that everything that Pharaoh and his palace had to offer him was only good for him in this world. He realized that there was something and someone out there far greater than he was, far greater than Pharaoh was, far greater than the entire nation of Egypt was. He realized, as we read verse 26, he esteemed the reproach of Christ. Now, what are we talking about? Friends, Moses was a prophet. I don't know if you knew that. Moses was a prophet, not only just the leader of God's people, he was a prophet. He preached unto the people the word of God. He was given knowledge that others did not have. He knew something about the promise that was made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. He knew something about the one that was to come. And he esteemed looking forward far into the future. And the coming of Jesus Christ, he esteemed the reproach of Christ. Now, esteeming meant that he put that above all else. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Friends, at the time that Moses was in Egypt, at the time that the people of Israel were enslaved in Egypt, that was the height of the Egyptian empire. They've never reached the same peak that they reached during this particular time. They were a world power when Moses was there. They had everything to offer when it came to the riches of this world. And yet Moses turned his back on it. Why? For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew about the promises of God. That's the same thing with Abraham here. What the world has to offer is but for a short time. It is simply temporary. And these men, Moses, Abraham, all these men that God had passed the promise on to, they came to realize that. They understood that God kept His promises. They understood that God had a plan. He had something in mind. And so they were willing to leave everything that they knew behind. Moses did the same thing, didn't he? He left Pharaoh's house. He left being there with his father-in-law and the safety of being a shepherd to go and lead God's people. Why? Because of their faith in God. That's why he went. To leave the world behind, friends, sometimes we have to leave all that we know. We've got to leave some things that we've become comfortable with. That leads us to number two. He left, Abraham did, he left all the comforts of home. He left all that he knew and he left all the comforts of home. As we said a moment ago, he became a nomad. He went from place to place living in a tent. Friends, sometimes to do what God would have us to do means getting out of our comfort zone. I cannot imagine Abraham wanting to leave indoor plumbing in a heated home to live in a tent. Can't imagine. Knowing how bitterly cold it was the past few days, and knowing how hot it gets in the summers here in Texas, I cannot imagine leaving a place to where I have a heated and cooled home, a permanent dwelling, to wanting to go and live in a tent. I don't know if you've ever been in a tent in the summertime, but it's a cook box. It gets hot in those things. And yet he did that. He left the comforts of home. He left having indoor plumbing, going and having to dig a hole outside his camp. He left all the comforts of home. Sometimes meaning doing what God would have us to do means getting out of our comfort zone. Let me give you a couple of other examples. Saul of Tarsus had to leave his comfort zone, didn't he? He had been comfortable persecuting Christians. Now he had to leave that comfort zone and become one of the persecuted. He had to leave his people behind. Think about that for a moment. In defending himself to others, to the Jewish nation, in defending himself, he had to remind them that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, friends, that was special in the eyes of a Jew, because they were one of only two tribes that remained faithful to the true King of Israel. They were one of the only two tribes that stayed put where they needed to stay. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Now whether, and this is for debate, there's some research further that I need to do, I'm not sure if he was a member of the Sanhedrin or if he was just one of their errand boys. Whatever the case, he was held in high regard by the Sanhedrin. One of the foremost authorities in Jewish law. Matter of fact, as we see Jesus being put on trial, guess who he goes before? It was the Sanhedrin. I don't know if Paul was there or not. We're not told. But he left all of that. To be beaten by his own people 5 times. To be beaten by the Romans and Greeks 3 times with rods. To be stoned and left for dead. To be shipwrecked. To be a night and a day in the Mediterranean Sea. He left his comfort zone. What about Peter? Where do you think Peter was most comfortable? I tell you where he's most comfortable, because after the death of Christ, where do we next see Peter? On a fishing boat. That's where Peter was most comfortable. And yet, because Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," he left the boat a second time. He went and he followed Christ after he found out that he was raised. He was one of the first ones to the tomb. Jesus had a talk with him about. He asked him 3 times, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter was going to have to leave his comfort zone. And he became one of the greatest gospel preachers the world has ever known. I don't know of any other preacher that's preached a sermon and 3,000 souls obeyed. The man left his comfort zone and became a great gospel preacher. Probably the greatest example of all, in my mind, as he is in every other regard, is Jesus. Jesus left glory to come and suffer upon this world. Friends, when we realize what the Word of God says to us about being a Christian, it may mean that we have to leave our comfort zone. But friends, any of you, and I know none of you did, but if any of you had known me before I became a gospel preacher, and you can ask Ashley for this as far as confirmation. And Ashley will tell you straight up, she thought for the longest time that as a ball player, that I was a stuck-up jock because I didn't talk to a whole lot of folks. What she came to realize after she got to know me is that I was naturally shy. But friends, when I realized that I wanted to preach the gospel, I knew that that was something that I was going to have to get out of. I'm still a naturally shy person. I have to force myself to go and talk to someone that I don't know. That's just me. But friends, I know that because I'm a Christian, I've got to leave my comfort zone sometimes. I have to get out of that rut. I have to go and put myself out there. Peter probably would have been more comfortable just to stay on that fishing boat and he would talk to the folks that he sold his fish to. I guarantee you that Paul would have been a whole lot more comfortable just to make his tents and talk to folks as they came to buy a tent. But he put himself out there. He received some beatings for it. But friends, he left his comfort zone. Jesus left glory. Why? For me. Friends, am I willing to leave my comfort zone for Christ? If the answer to that question is no, friends, then we've got some soul searching to do. Because he calls upon us to leave our comfort zones. To take the gospel unto all the world. Mark 16:15-16. That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. Just because I put some money in the plate or I write out a personal check to a missionary, that doesn't mean that my duty to the Great Commission has been fulfilled. I've got a responsibility to take the word to all the world. That starts right here in San Angelo. Leaving my comfort zone. Friends, something else that strikes me about Abraham in this particular passage. As the Lord is making these promises unto him, I can imagine that Abraham gets it. He knows that God is going to keep his promises, but he has no idea how that's going to come about. He doesn't, I can't imagine that he completely understands exactly what the Lord has in mind here in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Lord says, go. Okay, Lord, I'll get up and I'll go. I don't know where I'm going, but I'll go. In verse 7, we find where he's going. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed, will I give this land? And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So we learn there, as he was in the land of Canaan, verse 6, where the land is. He finds that out. But at this time, remember, Abraham doesn't have any seed. Abraham has yet to have a son. He cannot possibly know how God is going to carry out his plan. He did not know what would happen, friends, but faith continued to lead Abraham to obey. I'm mindful of the song. And I don't remember the name of the song. This may be the name of the song, but I don't remember exactly how the entire song goes, but one line has always stuck out to me. I don't know who holds tomorrow. Well, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Friends, as we go through our day-to-day lives, we don't know what's going to happen from day to day, do we? We don't know what's going to happen necessarily in the next 30 seconds, much less what's going to happen tomorrow or next week, next month, next year, or 20 years down the road. We don't know. But friends, we know who holds the future. We know who holds tomorrow. And because of that, because I know that God holds tomorrow in his hands, I don't have a thing to worry about. My responsibility is to fear God and keep his commandments. And friends, once I realize that, my life is going to become a whole lot easier. As a Christian, my responsibility is to fear God and keep his commandments. Friends, looking at the example of Abraham, and how he left his home, he left all that he knew, he left all the comforts he had at home, and he didn't know what would happen, but faith continued to lead him to obey. If we follow that example, friends, we can leave the world behind. Because one other thing, we as Christians, friends, the world is not to be among us. While we have to live in this world, friends, the world is not to be among us. It's not to be a part of who we are. Abraham realized that. He left the comforts of this world behind to follow God. So friend, let me ask you tonight, as we put away our Bibles and we take out our songbooks, being ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment, will you do as Abraham? Will you leave the world behind and give your life to God? Will you leave the world behind and give your life to Jesus Christ, the promised one, the Savior of this world? Would you do that this evening? Friends, we need to understand the importance of leaving the world and doing that for the rest of our lives. Abraham never went back, did he? Once he left, he never saw her again. Think about that for a moment, friends. When we make this commitment to give our life over to God, it is a lifelong commitment, just as it was for Abraham. We are never to go back. Peter tells us that it's better never to have known God at all than to have committed our lives to have followed him and then turned back under the world. And he gives us a picture there of a dog returning into his own vomit or a sow that was washed returning to her wallowing in the mire. Not a very pretty picture. Friends, would you turn your back on the world and give your life over to God? Would you leave the world behind? Friend, if you're here this evening having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, why not tonight? Friend, if you're here and you have obeyed the gospel of Christ by putting Christ on in baptism, but you've fallen away, maybe you have gone back to the world. The beautiful thing about being a Christian, friends, the beautiful thing about having obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and us still having breath in our lungs is that we have another chance as of right now. to come back, give our lives back to God, so that if the judgment were to come tonight, each one of us here can hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Friend, if it's your desire to hear those words come from the lips of our God,